You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for August 5th, 2016. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from outside the Republican Tears Bottling Company, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal. Yeah.
It's the perfect drink to celebrate Barack Obama's birthday.
It is. It's and it's an ample supply.
As I said, it now comes in huge.
It's going to displace, you know, Poland Springs and Dasani at your local gas station. Because there's plenty for everyone.
And that's so, kind of what we want to talk about today. Not, you know, this isn't, well, I guess it is a little bit of Schadenfreude, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, if this is the Schadenfreude issue, you have tricked me into doing a podcast under false pretenses. You know, well, and I'm not going to endorse you. Well, I'm going to support you, honey, but I'm not going to endorse you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's do a fire round of some of all of the things that have happened this week, shall we?
In the last 7 days.
Right.
Yeah, this has been like 9 weeks.
All right, let me read a list, and if you want to stop me, and we can talk about something. But let me just get through this list, because someone sent a tweet out with a list, and I will tell you most of it is about Trump. But all of these things have something in common. I'll tell you what it is at the end of the list, all right?
Yeah. And is this the list I'm looking at over here or no?
No. No.
Okay.
It's some of the things are the same. But it's, all right. Here's the tweet
list. Rock my world.
Here's the tweet list.
Okay.
In a Washington Post interview, Trump declined to endorse House Speaker Paul Ryan against his primary challenger. Mm-hmm. Number two, Trump reiterated that he hasn't endorsed John McCain and says that McCain has not, quote, not done a good job for the vets.
Yeah.
Number three, he slapped out at a Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte, saying, quote, she has given me zero support.
Yep.
Number four, he suggested that Americans should put their 401k funds out of the stock market. Number five, he said he's always wanted to receive a Purple Heart, but that having one gifted to him by a supporter was much easier. Number six, he said that the handling of sexual harassment has, quote, got to be up to the individual.
Yeah.
Number seven, he accused Khizr Khan of being, quote, bothered, unquote, by his plan to keep terrorists out of the country. And he said he had no regrets about clashing with Khan and his family. Number eight, he appeared to feud with a crying baby during a rally. Number nine, he reiterated that if the election is rigged, I would not be surprised. Number 10, the sitting president of the United States publicly called Trump, quote, unfit to serve, and urged Republicans to withdraw their support. Number 11, Trump's spokeswoman, Katrina Pearson, Katrina Pearson suggested that Obama and Clinton are to blame for the death of Humayun Khan, who died in 2004 when neither were in office. Am I at 13? I think I am. 13. An ally of Paul Manafort told our colleague John Harwood at CNBC that the campaign chairman is mailing it in, leaving the rest of the staff, quote, suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
14. Sitting GOP Congressman Richard Hanna, the head of HP Meg Whitman, and former Christie aide Maria Comella all said they plan to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
15. The Washington Post released a transcript of its full interview with Trump, indicating, among other things, that he paused 5 times during the interview to watch Fox News in the middle of the sit-down.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, a GOP source told NBC's Katie Tour that Reince Priebus is apoplectic over Trump's refusal to endorse Ryan. And Priebus is making calls to the campaign to express his, quote, extreme displeasure.
Yeah, because that's scary. When Reince Priebus calls you up and says he's mad. It's like Lassie biting Timmy.
Okay,
you know,
so just, I just read that list to you, and the comment that was tweeted with that is, this is Wednesday.
Right. I've never seen anything like this.
Nothing ever
I, you know
like
what?
This.
I can remember one thing that sort of it was emotionally similar.
Mm-hmm.
It was Watergate summer.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 1974 when the shit just kept hitting the fan.
Yep, yep.
And the Nixon administration was reeling. People were blabbing shit under oath. Like,
yep, yep.
What? There's a tape system in the White House? Really? Really? Well, we can settle all this right now. Let's go right now. Let's go.
Get the tapes.
We'll listen to the tape right now. Settle
and then we'll know.
And
we'll
lunch.
Know. And then we'll have the answer. It'll be all settled if we just listen to the tapes. Oh, wait.
And there were Republicans crying.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly. I can't remember his name. But there was a Republican congressman who said, you know, I heard my president saying, you know, talking about lying and blackmailing on tape. And I can't support him anymore. And Barry Goldwater had to make that long trip up to the
mm-hmm.
White House.
To the White House.
Pry that bottle of scotch out of Nixon's hand and say, dude, you got to go.
Yeah.
In addition,
there's a fireman and the fire marshals, this war on fire marshals going on.
Corey Lewandowski doubling down on birtherism.
Yeah, birther. Yeah.
Because on CNN, where he is a paid contributor, while still collecting.
I was grateful that on Twitter, a lot of people called out CNN and said, "You know, you're paying a birther, right?"
Right. Well,
and they don't care. They don't
calling out CNN on Twitter is like in Game of Thrones, pissing off the wall.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
And I wrote a longish post about Jeff Zucker.
Uh-huh.
The president of CNN, who co-similar at the same time, roughly the same time as Corey Lewandowski, was lying.
Mm-hmm.
And his strategy is just look, you know, dead-eyed into the camera
mm-hmm.
and say, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? That's it. That's all he does. And, you know, with his H.R. Haldeman haircut.
Exactly. He is Haldeman Ehrlichman. He really is. He's that craven servant of Satan who's going to just, and I hate to put it that way, but just kind of this, I have a mission, and
he's
you know
thug.
if it means torturing children, yes sir, let's
yes,
go
yes sir Mr.
You
Trump
know?
Sir and the president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, put out a statement that'll be in Vanity Fair, but it's being quoted at Politico, saying I love Corey Lewandowski, he's a great guy, he was a great hire. Everybody wanted to hire him, and we got him, because that point of view is really important. And I want to emphasize this. This is because Jeff Zucker and Phil Griffin, who runs MSNBC and NBC, and pretty much all those guys, do not care about this country at all.
Yeah.
They care about ratings. They live in a completely different country than the rest of us.
That's the point. I think that's the point. It's not that they don't care about the country. It's that their country is completely stable as long as ratings are good.
Their country is about money and rating.
Yep.
And all those people you see calling Barack Obama the N-word and screaming about lock her up
mm-hmm.
and screaming about those dirty beaners at Trump rallies.
Right.
Those are the people that Jeff Zucker wants watching his shows.
Well, and those are also the people that have been working the refs for years in terms of media.
But Jeff Zucker and Phil Griffin cannot, because they're morally depraved people who are driven only by profit, cannot look at their shareholders and say, well, sure, we could have pandered to the 30 million bigots and morons, but we decided that was bad for our country.
No.
So what they do is they put Corey Lewandowski on the air and let him lie. And you know, you had J.D. Hayworth from Newsmax, for fuck's sake. Chris Matthews, pivoting away from interviewing Ann Coulter, swings over to J.D. Hayworth from Newsmax to talk about voting fraud.
Yeah.
And it is so and again, this is the larger theme of the show, probably. One of the great virtues of this election is it's so clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's putting
so much
pressure on the media and our political system and how we talk about politics and how we cover things, that it is now painfully clear that the media has nothing to do with journalism anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference between now and 1972. Also.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I said that yesterday, that, you know, I think Donald Trump really thought he was going to run Nixon's 1972 playbook, which why wouldn't you? That's the largest landslide in American history.
Sure. Well, it was also a short landslide. I think the House and the Senate
flipped.
There was coattails. Well,
there were no coattails, but he won massively in the Electoral College.
Yep.
And so why wouldn't you model yourself after that? But what he's really going to find out is he may not make it to Wallace 68. You know, no. This is going to be some very hardcore southern states and perhaps that western strip that sort of divides the country in two that hasn't voted Democratic since 1964. And you pointed out yesterday, I had not thought of this, that that's where the Confederate soldiers moved after the war, the Civil War. So,
well, and it's also a lot of, you know, my relatives.
Oil and mining, right?
Yeah, moved out west because it was sunny and it was a lot of land and you could, you know, start your life over again. And there was oil and cattle and
you draw just a straight line north from Texas up, and there is this string of states north to south that is red in every election since 1964, every presidential election. And I had not thought about sort of the history and demography of that area as being having anything to do with that. That's really interesting. Can we just talk for a minute about how the Kahn family popped the bubble?
We can talk for 2 minutes about that.
because the Fox News poll that came out this week, and you know, Fox pulled away from the Kahn family's speech at the convention to run a Benghazi ad.
Literally. Look, I was not making that up. Everyone else covered it live, real time, like everything else. Fox News cut away from it on purpose so they wouldn't have to react to it.
Address to that, yeah. And so... but their poll showed that, you know, 69% to 70% of people responding to a Fox News poll were aware of the Kahn family and knew what had happened and knew his speech, knew that he'd held up the Constitution and that his son had died in the war and so forth. And sure enough, there are 40% of Republicans that think that Trump is doing just fine responding to the Kahn family the way he did.
Yep.
But 41% of Republicans think he's not, and that it's not appropriate. He is out of bounds. And then, of course, you know, it's what, 79% of Democrats think he's out of bounds, and the rest haven't been watching this, you know.
So out of bounds or out of bounds or out of his mind.
Yeah, yeah. So this one family has done what all of us have been unable to do, which is to say, whoa, wait a minute, something's wrong here. This guy is crossing lines. And now that that's happened, you know, the water is squirting out of the balloon in terms of the media, I think.
Yeah.
There really is a sense of, oh, no, something's wrong with this guy. He's not doing well. He's not making any sense. He comes on stage and starts talking about his golf courses for 25 minutes of his speech.
Yeah.
He's talking about his golf course. And, you know, you do not connect with voters that way. And this is a problem for the party. And now, I mean, when you start getting, there actually is, for some reason, and I don't understand it, but there is apparently a real science to looking at the presidential race and the numbers and at what point coattails actually start to come into it in terms of the popular vote. I've always been really focusing on the Electoral College because that's the results of the election are the Electoral College, right? But apparently if you get to where there's a 10% difference in the two parties in terms of the presidential race, that affects the Senate. If you start getting into 15 or higher, the House comes into play because it's actually turnout. And it's actually who is voting and why. And if you see this sort of absolute drubbing of one candidate by another, when you start getting up into those numbers, like, no, the House comes into play if it's 15 or 20, you know, 18% difference between the two candidates. So this is panic mode.
Sure.
And tell me what you think about the Kahn family and what kind of the reaction to that has been. What have you been observing about this?
No family should ever have to pay that price.
Right.
And no family should ever have to go in front of a million, 35 million people
mm-hmm.
and say what they said, because we shouldn't have to live in that country, but we do live in that country.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did they pick the wrong people to mess with.
Yeah.
Because everything, there are a series of fallback positions that crazy Uncle Liberty has that excuses him from taking anything anyone says seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Your tone is bad.
Yeah.
You don't love America. You have no history of understanding how great this country is. You're a stinking liberal. You know, you're a mooch. You're just a whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of alibis that Uncle Liberty's pockets are stuffed with. And the Trump people thought they could get away with doing how Republicans always dismiss criticism.
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck you. Shut up. You know, just snide. Bitchy,
well, and coming
dismissive.
Up with, they reply with emails, Benghazi.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
Well, and as we talked about last week, the problem with their talking points is they're so tired.
Yeah,
nothing new. There's nobody. There's no brain trust left. They just crank out the same thing every time. There's been a freak out story on the right, and the list you've articulated so very well.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you watch the news, it's like, and Hillary's emails, Benghazi, the same old bullshit talking points they use to block out all discussion of everything, or try to equalize. Well, what about Hillary? She's a liar. She's a liar too. And this was a case where I took, believe it or not, I once took a disaster management class at Northwestern University, they sent me up there. I was a senior executive and they sent me up there and just sort of, okay, it's a weekend. I can spend it up here eating free food. But it was how Tylenol managed after the Tylenol poisoning.
Oh, yeah. And they did a really good job of managing what was a horrible attack on their brand, because there was poison in some of their pill bottles, right?
And, you know, it was terrible and it was intimate. And they had a series of scenarios of, you know, this is what happened when this thing happened in Mercedes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a textbook case of how to screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just every dumb, stupid, smarmy, assholish, short-sighted thing you could possibly do, Donald Trump did.
Mm-hmm.
This genius businessman who has no professional experience in government at all, but is such a savvy marketing and business guy that it doesn't matter that he doesn't know what nuclear weapons do or where Crimea is or what climate science is. Because he's a business guy. He knows how to do business things. Well, he just put his dick in the thresher and wouldn't take it out, and took his whole convention, took whatever he got out of his convention and whatever his reputation was, and killed it. He just kept adding fire to this in a completely unnecessary way.
Yep.
He couldn't stop. And that's the thing that was fascinating to me, was the fact that he, Donald Trump, personally turned what was a 1 or 2 day bad story into a week and a half disaster.
Mm-hmm.
All by himself. And now, you want to know how to get booed and kicked out of a Trump rally?
Yes, I know how.
How, Blue Gal? What's the best way to do that?
Hold up a copy of the Constitution?
Yeah.
Which Donald Trump is going to have to swear to uphold?
Right.
When he's president, uphold it. That is in the oath of office,
amid all these people shrieking, lock her up, and N-word and Beaner, if you want to get thrown out, all that's okay.
Yeah.
But if you stand up and don't say anything, but just hold up a copy of the United States Constitution, Donald Trump supporters will boo you and they'll throw you out.
Yep.
That's how completely...
And this is the Constitution misspelled was on all of those anti-Obamacare Tea Party signs 7 years ago. Remember that? Read the Constitution. This is unconstitutional. Yeah, yeah.
Well, again, this is the stress test. This is the amount of I think in engineering it's called testing to destruction.
Yep.
You pile enough weight on it till it breaks, and you figure out what it took to break it.
Yep.
the Republican Party and the media, this is a deeply dysfunctional relationship between the two, are now to the point of collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And as reviled outsiders, we liberals have sort of a box seat to this, because nobody's asking us to go on camera and say anything. Right, and the Clinton campaign is brilliant because they're doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that never interrupt your enemy while he's destroying himself motto.
Yeah.
Just step back and let him kill himself.
Yeah.
But watching just this morning, I flipped past the Morning Joe show. I don't recommend it. I think it's bad for your brain. You get no information out of it. But watching Michael Steele and Mark Halperin getting angry because today, this is Friday, Donald Trump on the Twitter partially walked back one of the thousands of lies he has told.
Well, that shows that he's maturing as a candidate, Drip Glass.
And they were so desperate to give him a big gold star.
He turned a corner. He turned a corner, Drip Glass. He's maturing as a candidate.
Look, he thinks he's people. And he's up on his hind legs. Isn't that adorable? And Donnie Deutsch, who is, nobody from nothing, was just looking at him like, what the hell, man?
Are you crazy?
And they were so, it's so clear that Michael Steele sees his future as a Republican Party hack. And Mark Halperin sees his future as, media guy who can get in and talk to Sean Hannity and, who can really get into the right. And really, let's face it, Mark Halperin is a soulless whore.
Yeah.
And so is Michael Steele. And therefore, there's a place for them in our media. There's no place for anyone who tells the truth.
Yeah.
But there's a big, wide, green pasture for soulless hacks who lie for a living, like Michael Steele and Mark Halperin and many, 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 many others. And this is a plague of locusts on that field.
It is. And I wanted to say, too, that it's really important because Mark Halperin and Michael Steele think that they are going to go back in January to the old way of doing things.
Right.
And it will be fine. Trump's going to lose and Hillary's going to win. And we'll go back to attacking Hillary, having Republican congressmen on our show to spout whatever, and we'll talk about, is there going to be an investigation into the Clinton administration, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a two-party. The Beltway is just going to go right back into the same mode that they were in during the Obama administration. Both sides are equally bad, and let's have a bunch of Republicans on to spout the party line against this administration and pretend we're being balanced.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that I think we can do to show the shift that has happened,
mm-hmm.
and to capitalize on that. And I don't mean that in a craven way, but for the good of the republic, we have to acknowledge and force the truth over and over again. And fortunately, Trump is really going to help us with this because Barack Obama isn't going anywhere in 2017. Neither is Donald Trump.
Nope.
He's going to continue to open his mouth.
Yep.
And making sure that Donald Trump continues to talk about Reince Priebus, continues to talk about Mitch McConnell, continues to talk about Paul Ryan is really important because they built this.
Mm-hmm.
They built this by deciding that it is their way or the highway in terms of legislation. And that led to the expectation among base voters that if you did anything to govern, you were colluding with the enemy. And so they didn't get to govern. And so why wouldn't you select Trump then?
Exactly.
Why, well, if government doesn't matter at all, it's all about winning points and winning and beating up your opponent, and then you can say you're a winner. If that's all that politics is, Trump's the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there's a I'm probably going to write it up later today, and I believe you are too. Sean Hannity.
Yes, I am going to write that up.
Having an absolute hissy fit.
And Eric Bolling, too, also. And I have to get you that video. I know you.
Yeah. The on both in Yahoo News,
mm-hmm.
and on the Twitter.
Yeah.
who just is excoriating the weak Republicans. Where were you when, where were you when Hillary was plundering the federal government? Where were you when Barack Obama? You could have defunded Obamacare, but no, you didn't. Yeah, and really, watching the gang of thieves and liars and morally bent freaks turn on each other.
Yep. Yep.
But it's all for a purpose, because this is probably the larger theme of the show. Mm-hmm. The après le déluge. You know, what happens after the flood?
Yep.
They're all positioning themselves for what happens after the shit hits the fan.
Yes.
And they really are. There are the people who are positioning themselves to be the I told you so people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People who are positioning themselves to be the true conservatives. If only, you know, who are Donald. And this is absolutely Joe Scarborough.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week, I know I said I don't watch Joe Scarborough, and I really don't, but I did watch this one because it was so fucking funny. Joe Scarborough, a stuck record, repeating over and over again, nope, Donald Trump's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. I'm telling you, he's a Democrat. He was a Democrat in 1982, he's 1987, and he supported the Clintons, and he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. And there's this conspiracy theory about how Donald Trump's a secret plant. I'm not saying it's true, but if you were inclined to believe conspiracy theories, that would be a really good one, because he's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around the table, it was, you know, drunk asshole dad.
Yeah, as usual, yes.
And
yeah.
All the kids are looking at their toes going, please don't look at me, because obviously this guy just won the Republican primaries.
Yes.
He won the Republican primaries in no small measure because a scumbag named Joe Scarborough put him on his back and carried this fucker for a year.
And had him phone in all the time. Yes.
And now that the dragon's teeth that Joe Scarborough planted have arisen and are eating everything in sight, Joe Scarborough, who is a coward and a liar, is desperate to distance himself from the disaster. Like every other Republican, he is inventing an alibi where he isn't responsible.
Yep. And I think the difference is, though, I think that what has happened is it's gone outside the castle.
It has.
Which is, I think it was expected, even at the beginning of the summer, before everyone had dropped out, before Kasich and Cruz had dropped out, mm-hmm. that, yeah, Trump's going to be the nominee, and he's going to lose the general election to Hillary.
Right.
And we get that, and that's okay, because after the election, Hugh Hewitt can do his Hillary hate radio hour.
Sure.
Hannity can say, we're in the bunker, the Clinton administration is washing over us. You know, everyone come to me, we will survive this together, and we right. will fight her from below decks, you know. Yeah. And the playbook was just fine because sure. because you have two parties, and being in the losing party in a presidential race works for conservative media.
Yeah, well, when you own the market for the 30 million bigots and morons.
Exactly. They have nowhere else to go.
They have no place else to go. They will flood. This is why Fox News is successful. This is why they always go back to ratings. Every time mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly's caught lying on the air, and they never say, well, it wasn't what he said wasn't true or was true. They just say, look at my ratings. My ratings are awesome. It's the Donald Trump strategy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that I lie. I get good ratings. Again, take it back to Jeff Zucker. Take it back to Phil Griffin. They do not care the damage they're doing to this country because they don't live in this country.
Right.
In a very real
they live in a world where the only thing that matters to their world is stock price and ratings.
And so when Bill O'Reilly can say, I have good ratings, Roger Ailes will come to his defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they now, once Hitlery beats Donald Trump, you know, the everyman, the great man, because after Donald Trump goes away, he'll never disappear. But after he's beaten, again, I'm making a lot of assumptions, and it's the middle of, you know, it's the beginning of August. But two things will happen, and you and I have talked about this. First is Hillary Clinton will get a big asterisk by her name.
Right. She didn't get a mandate.
She didn't really win. This is, again, the Morning Joe collection of addled old men and washed up hacks. Mike Barnicle leads that crowd. Was leaning back on his on his ample ass, you know, opining. You just see him sort of thumbing his suspenders, going, you know, whatever comes out of this, this is going to be like the fifth presidency that's been, you know, disputed or discredited.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like, well, wait a minute.
You are already... And this is the whole thing with it being rigged. You know, Donald Trump thinking it's rigged.
And it's both sides.
It's both sides. Mm-hmm. Is that let's delegitimize President Hillary Clinton from day minus 93.
Right. Right. And isn't it a shame how, look, Bill Clinton was delegitimized, but so was George W. Bush. Well, Bill Clinton was delegitimized because the Republican Party is full of monsters.
Yeah.
George Bush was started off, and George Bush got to be president. He got to have his tax cuts. He got to have his war. He got to have most of whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. Nobody obstructed him. Nobody shut the fucking government down out of spite just to make him look bad. But George Bush was president because the Republican Supreme Court decided he would be president.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If ever there were a case for an illegitimate presidency, it was the disputed votes were in the state where your brother was governor. Your campaign manager was in charge of counting the votes. And five people, three of whom your daddy or your daddy's boss appointed to the Supreme Court, told you you get to be president. That's a pretty strong case that something stinks here. But you know what? Al Gore, being a mensch, went along with it. Said, you know what? The process...
Caring about the Constitution, yeah, and the future of the Republic and the legitimacy of the Constitution, mm-hmm, went along with it. Yeah.
And so right now, Hillary Clinton's, you know, place in history is being fitted with an asterisk. She's not really a president. She didn't really win because Donald Trump was such a disaster, because it was such a crazy campaign. It was so crazy. The second thing is Donald Trump was never really a Republican.
Yep.
Doesn't really count because he was never really a Republican. He was never really a conservative, and he never really, you know, was he wasn't one of us. He pretended to be, but it wasn't. But again, this is 2005-06, the Iraq War, all over again. In that, the lies the Republicans tell themselves and tell the meatheads and bigots who make up their voting base and their viewership are starting to fall apart.
Well, now, wait a minute. Stop, mm-hmm, right there.
Okay.
Stop right there. Time out. Because I think this is where the narrative falls apart. And this is the other half of the story about why the Republicans built this.
Right.
And why it's falling apart so bad is that the narrative that the Hugh Hewitts and the Joe Scarboroughs and even the Bill O'Reillys depend on is, okay, Trump's going to be the nominee. We've had this primary season. He's dominated the airwaves. He's attacked everybody and won.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the pivot.
Right.
And now we will pivot and we will make sure that our Wall Street Republicans are happy. We will make sure our university Republicans are happy. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure our intellectual friends up in, Manhattan and Los Angeles, all the donor class, are fine with this because now he's pivoted and he's presidential and he's saying the right things. And the rubes will go along as they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we chose McCain and we chose Romney and they pivoted, you know, they allowed things to happen during the primaries. And then with you have the convention and it's a whole new candidate.
Sure.
It's Etch-a-Sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump did not do that.
Well,
and
exactly.
So now you have this is what destroys this is why they're all shitting their pants, as you say,
mm-hmm,
is. There are now massive numbers of Republicans, and they are the friends and Rolodexes of these media types,
yep,
that are saying, no, I'm not going to vote for him. Meg Whitman, you know, HP billionaire. No, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm going to actually fundraise for Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
Now, this gets to be this makes liberals like us nervous, I think.
Sure.
I get nervous when I think about this because this is where you and I and all liberals have to be very alert and say it's fine for Republicans to vote for Hillary Clinton and support her and fundraise for her,
sure,
and come on in, but there are conditions.
Yeah, you can come into the parlor, but you can't come into the chapel.
Right, and or the kitchen or
right,
anywhere else, right? And thus far and no farther, because you are not going to come in and say as...
Tom Friedman
Tom Friedman said
yeah,
you know, maybe you know, maybe Hillary should just become kind of more Republican to make the Republicans feel good about voting for her.
Yeah, some sort of grand bargain that's very pro-growth. Because, you know, American people don't like socialism or anything like that Bernie stuff. And so, you know, first of all, again, one more example, as if we needed one more example on this creaking limb that's already cracking and falling of a completely unqualified fucker who, for no reason anyone can explain to me that doesn't involve whispering about dark conspiracies, still has a job at the New York Times.
Right.
And who is not only a horrible writer, but who clearly didn't even bother to find out what Hillary Clinton's plans were.
I pointed out to you. Yeah. I brought you the link from Hillary Clinton's website. And by the way, this is where we liberals get to hold Hillary Clinton accountable.
Yeah.
Which is, to her credit, and you know, we could talk more about this in terms of her convention performance, about being wonky and having a wonky speech with lots of promises in it. But she's got very detailed plans on her website about what she's going to do, what she wants to accomplish. The legislation is practically written at this point as to what she wants to pass, if not already written. I mean, I'm sure her policy people have it all in a row as to what she wants to get done. And if, you know, by some absolute miracle, she does win the House and Nancy Pelosi is Speaker again.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be 100 days like Roosevelt. It's going to be, you know, pass after pass after pass of legislation, get the judges in, get everything done. Mm-hmm. And as quickly it'll make, you know, it almost makes me want to say poor Hannity.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that I'm not expecting that that's going to happen, because winning the House is really hard given the gerrymandering and so forth.
Nearly
however,
impossible. Right.
However,
but
the idea that Tom Friedman did not read what Hillary Clinton's plans are for growth, for investment in small business, for investment in the kinds of things that will actually make Tom Friedman happy. You know that she has plans for that, and that doesn't make her a Republican. I really want to point that out. She wants average Americans to have jobs, and that has to happen with some sort of government investment. That's what the Republicans got wrong. That's what was proven very clearly in the Kansas primaries this week, where 11 Kansas Tea Partiers were thrown out of office by the John Boehner wing of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Because white Republicans in suburban districts in Kansas, who are, you know, voting for Brownback and going for this no government stuff, when it comes to their schools not getting funded, and that affects their property values, say no. Ideology is not going to meet our needs. We need government to meet our needs, which is at our level, right? Property values. Think about that.
Exactly.
And I said on Twitter, it's really interesting how when the government does something for white people, they take the government tags off first.
Exactly.
You don't have government, you know, it's not big government to have good schools in white districts, right? This, and I'm going all over the place here, and I'm sorry, but the script has changed when Republicans say no to the Donald Trump candidacy.
But
Hugh Hewitt can't go on the radio and say, this is all radical Democratic policy. No, you had, you know, 41% of Republicans say that the Kahn family was mistreated, and that waving a Purple Heart around like it's a trinket is wrong, and we're not going to vote for you. We're going to vote against our own party. That changes the rules of the game for those media types, and they're scared because they don't have a script anymore.
This is where I would respectfully disagree with my beautiful wife. Only to this degree, there is a script for this right now. And pardon me for using analogies, but analogies, and especially political history analogies, recent political history analogies, are so on point in my mind, because we're talking about the same Republican Party. For the last 25 years, the same people doing the same thing, voting the same way, thinking the same way, being led down the same rat holes over and over again by the same liars and demagogues. So, Bill Clinton, President of the United States, 8 years of peace and prosperity. How do Republicans react? Witch hunts? Deficits are the worst thing in the world. We must stop. You know, you can't have anything you want because you have to pay down our debt. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a drug dealer.
I actually wrote this down, Driftglass. It's we're going to back to the days of special prosecutor, speaker's fee, Travelgate, Vince Foster, Benghazi, secret lesbian, baby parts, Whitewater, Sidney Blumenthal, emails, woman card. I mean,
that was the bar established by the Republican Party during the Clinton president of how a president should be treated.
Yep.
This is nothing personal. This is our moral duty to treat anyone who occupies the White House like this.
Yep. Then what happened? Who's not a Republican?
No, right. They never said that. They always said there's a long list of statements about how the president needs this and the president needs that, and we are
It's our obligation during a time of war to uphold the Constitution.
We would be shaming.
Derelict.
We would be derelict in our duties. We'd be letting down the brave men and women in uniform who are fighting for our Constitution if we didn't do our duty and impeach this son of a bitch. Okay? Mm-hmm. Fine. Then comes George Bush and every single principle goes out the window.
Yep.
Oh, my God. They don't believe it. Okay. All right. Fine. 9/11. Everything changed. Remember 9/11, 9/11. Everything changed. So now what are the new rules for treating a president? The new rules are never question a president. Give him anything he wants. Deficit. Fuck, who cares about deficits? Spend on the military. Don't ask any questions. Shut up and be a good American. Anybody steps out of line, and go shopping. Ignore, ignore. All right, those are the new rules. They're completely opposite of the old rules, but then we had this big do-over moment at 9/11. Then what happens? Barack Obama becomes president because the entire Bush administration collapsed. All the lies they've been telling, all the bullshit they were talking about Iraq, all the nonsense they were running, all fell apart. What did the Republican Party do? Did they step up and take responsibility? Did they say, man, we sure got that fucking thing wrong?
No, they rebranded. Party.
They put their Tea Party hats on, and they went out and said, I never even heard of George Bush. What are you talking about?
And that was the post that I wrote this week, is no rebranding of the Republican Party. You're not allowed to call it – you're not allowed to call what is going on right now Trumpism.
Exactly.
And then in January say, well, now the real Republicans, the grown-ups are in charge again.
And right now, as we are recording this, we are in the middle of – that moment when the Mobius strip bends.
Right.
We are right now at the moment when the Republican Party is flailing around trying to find a way to rebrand itself out of the disaster it created.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do it. Meg Whitman's doing that. I never supported Donald Trump.
Right.
And David Brooks is in the New York Times going that Trump's enablers really need to step up and take responsibility. Michael, all the usual suspects are telling all the same lies.
Yeah.
The problem is, and the only place you really hear about this is on the podcast, like ours and other places. The problem is not Donald Trump. The problem is the Republican Party.
Yep.
The Republican
Party. It's not Trumpism. It's not Trumpism. No. It's you elected, your voters elected this person to be your nominee.
And the number two guy was the theocrat lunatic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Ted Cruz was your second choice. That's how bad your party is. So until, you know, Donald, until Trump
Well, and you convinced them, you convinced your voters that government's evil, government's wrong because Barack Obama is president.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, vote for us, and you're in government, and you're not meeting the needs of your people, and they're frustrated and angry, and it's not because of ideology. It's because you have done nothing to provide them with jobs. And you have, you know, Boehner said, jobs, jobs, where are the jobs, Mr. President?
And when it comes,
did nothing.
And when the great rebranding comes, and it's coming soon.
It's coming soon. Watch for it. Yep.
Who will be in charge of enabling that, of greasing the treads? Jeff Zucker.
Joe Scarborough.
Phil Griffin.
Scarborough. Yep.
Joe Scarborough. Michael Gerson.
Mm-hmm.
The entire...
Tom Friedman. David Brooks.
Exactly. The same media people who are now rending their garments and wondering why some other bunch of people let this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be exactly the same people, because they're the same people who, for a hot minute, said, "Man, Jesus, maybe Iraq was a disaster. Let's get on to talking about something else."
Yeah.
No, let's talk about that for about 10 years. No.
Well, and that's it. We're going to talk about Donald Trump for 10 years. Yeah. That is the point. And as I said, if they decide to have investigations about Clinton and we have the Senate, let's have just one Senate hearing. Mm-hmm. Let's have an 11-hour Senate hearing with Donald Trump.
Yes.
The, you know, the Republican nominee, because we really need to know what really happened in this election to you, Donald.
Yes.
Because, Donald, we don't think you were treated right by the Republican establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of irregularities in how some of the delegates were assigned. And we'd like you to come in, and we're going to give you live TV time to talk about Reince Priebus, rigged primaries, Vladimir Putin. You want to talk about Putin? What do you think about foreign policy and Putin? What do you think? And
Paul Ryan, you know, that son of a bitch.
Paul Ryan. What do you think about Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and John McCain? And, you know, let's give you some airtime to talk about this. And we're going to have a hearing to find out what really happened on your side of things.
And between now.
That's our hearing.
Between now and January. If things go the way they're going to go, if they go some other way, then this is a very different.
If we continue down this slide,
If Donald Trump is elected president, then we're going to have a very different kind of podcast starting in mid-November of this year.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's going to happen. But having lived through this before, the party of personal responsibility bolting for the exits.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time when we have to bolt the door and not let them out. This is the time when the only I remember it as if it were yesterday, the wall-to-wall Fox News coverage of this brand new movement called the Tea Party.
Well, and Fox News personalities showed up at these Tea Party meetings on April 15th, 2009.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck was there. Hannity was down in Texas.
Well, they were calling Fox News Tea Parties. They were saying to sign up, and they were promoting them wall-to-wall on their program.
And that fell right through the memory hole just exactly the same way that Fox rocks at the beginning of the war.
But it wasn't just Fox. It was all the other networks pointing their cameras at this thing going, hey, there's something interesting going over there with this brand new group of people who've never voted before. Let's go talk about them rather than talk about the disaster that the Republican Party is. Right now is the time that you jam, you know, a wrench in the wheel.
Right. Throw some bones in the grinder.
And you say, stop, stop.
Yep.
Do not, I don't know how to do this because you and I have a little, you know, podcast and we have.
And I wrote at Crooks and Liars about don't you dare call it Trumpism because you're separating yourself from what is the Republican Party. What we're doing everything we can. And when we're trying to give everyone else a vocabulary and a warning bell to say, watch for this.
This is coming.
Make sure it doesn't happen.
And one other thing you can do, you can vote.
Yep.
You can get up and vote because, you know, I know.
And drive 10 other people to the polls.
Because,
it really is important.
Because, Blue Gal, you and I both know, as Donald Trump knows, the elections are rigged.
someone on Crooks and Liars was saying that to me about Wisconsin, who lives in Wisconsin, and said, well, of course they're rigged. Most states have Republican governors these days. You think that there were no irregularities in the Bush elections? Of course there. You wouldn't be surprised if Scott Walker won Wisconsin.
Well, and this is why Barack Obama it's the day after Barack Obama's birthday, so I'll be nice to him today. Yeah. But he's the worst tyrant ever.
Yeah.
Because he can rig presidential elections, but he fucks up during the midterms. He forgets to rig the midterms.
Why did he forget to rig the midterms?
You were busy.
Sad.
Yeah, so sad. I forgot to rig the damn midterms. Hillary, you were supposed to remind me to rig the midterms. So
we have to switch gears, but go ahead and finish up.
I was going to say that now that voting rights have returned to five of the states in our country.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me explain what happened, because it was five states all in a row in different federal courts that got their voter ID laws and their voter restrictions and their restrictions on early voting overturned because I was reading about this in Governing Magazine that.
Pause. I want everyone to note, my wife reads Governing Magazine casually.
I don't know. Do people know what Governing Magazine is?
They have the best pecan log recipes in the back.
No, they don't.
It's all about the temperature, honey. It's all about the temperature.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. No, we get a magazine at our house called Governing Magazine.
Yeah.
And it's about governance.
It is a magazine for basically state government workers at a high level.
Yeah.
And it talks about, like, for instance, trends in legislation for helping the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the standpoint of activism, but from the standpoint of legislation.
Right.
And how states are fixing problems. It's wonky articles about how states are fixing problems.
Policies and best practices, right?
Policies and best practices and what is constitutional and so forth. And so Governing Magazine, rather than saying liberal courts have flipped the narrative on voting rights, they always go under the hood and say, here's what happened. The Shelby decision came down where these states were told, we're not going to review your election policies anymore under the Voting Rights Act because Scalia said there's no racism anymore. So, hey,
yeah,
you know, we'll just go ahead and let you do whatever you want. And that they really did. These Republican legislatures and governors said, woohoo, it's time to start discriminating again.
And it was,
we now have license to do that.
It was that fast.
It was that fast.
The minute
they were ready.
Before the ink had dried on the decision, they were out of the gate and they were doing research to find out.
North Carolina in particular was doing research to find out how black voters voted.
Yeah,
they vote early voting? Well, we're going to turn that off.
Yeah.
Oh, they use this idea? We're going to turn that off. And based on the research that they did on where black voters voted,
the blatancy
they changed
of it.
The law. It was really blatant. So, but the deal is, the reason it happened all at once this summer is because it took unpacking and codifying the results of the 2014 midterms for these plaintiffs in these voting rights cases to be able to go to the courts and say, here is how changing these laws affected black turnout.
Right.
We now have a grievance against the state that you have prevented blacks from voting. And until you have that proof of being able to say, yes, black voter registration and black turnout and black results, African-American results of who voted and when and how were decimated by these laws. And
on
so
purpose,
these laws
right.
hurt us.
Right. Then
they
you have
hurt
a,
us.
Then you have a cause of action.
You have a case. You have a case to go to the court.
Right.
And that's why it happened. It looks like it happened all at once, is that this data finally came out last fall of, okay, here, and you know, you've got to go through it district by district, county by county, precinct by precinct, and it takes time to unpack all of this, but they had to put it all together, bring it to the court, and of course then the court takes 6 months with it. You know, this it grinds very slowly, but the reason it happened all at once is it's because the 2014 midterm results were presented in court as damaging the rights to vote for minority voters, and then the decisions are obvious. And so these five states all wound up with some sort of overturning of their voting laws, which had come out totally as a result of Shelby, of the Supreme Court saying, yeah, there's no more racism. We're going to turn off the Voting Rights Act in these regards. So so that's what happened there.
And can I add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you hear about government cutbacks,
mm-hmm.
government shutdowns, like we're having our state that is celebrating its first anniversary without a budget.
Mm-hmm.
It is just those sorts of dedicated, nerdy civil servants who operate well below the radar that get gutted.
Yeah.
The people who are in the trenches every day protecting our food, our water, our kids, our schools, our air, our voting, etc., trying to help people who are helpless or aged or infirm or in some way debilitated or in some way left out of society. Those are the people who were most directly and violently affected by budget cuts. And that's the plan.
Yes, yes.
The plan is to decimate those people and to screw the poor and to have tax cuts, because the Republican theory of governance is if you just burn the safety net and fire those moochers who are on the government dime, those who are fit to survive will do great. And those who are unfit, who cares about them? Fuck those guys. Mm-hmm. And so this is not an accident. This is all part of a very long-term, careful strategy that a handful of really dedicated, smart, decent human beings stopped by yep. their action, by being nerds, by caring enough to take action. Off my soapbox.
Yeah, and also that this is the one thing that you and I agreed this week. You know, if God forbid Donald Trump were to be elected president, what is the one policy that would definitely get passed within the first 100 days? Not the wall, not the deportations, not making America great again, whatever that is.
No.
What is the thing that would get passed and would be signed into law?
Massive tax cuts.
Massive tax cuts for the wealthy.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the plan, and tax benefits for rich people is the plan. That is the Republican policy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to switch gears because you and I talked about the Kahn family.
We did.
And one of the things that really had an impact on politics was that the Kahn family was so real. They were such devoted Americans. They had sacrificed their son for this country. And so it was impossible to look at them and say, well, that's not the real America, because their military service, their sacrifice made it impossible to make that argument. Even we did see that argument.
We did.
But I came across a tweet that it was the first advertisement tweet that I had ever retweeted. And it was from Spotify, and you know, I'm sure we'll get letters about, oh, Spotify's terrible, they don't pay, they don't do this, they don't do that. But this video that was on Twitter caught my eye because it said, this rap star mails lyrics as a thank you to his listeners on Spotify.
Uh-huh.
And I like mailing thank you notes when I have time, and I'm very interested in thanking our listeners who contribute. Even though I've got a stack of them that are from before the summer, and I deeply apologize. We are very behind on our...
I apologize, too. I'm probably at least as far behind.
It's a priority to get a podcast out to you folks every week and do everything else we have to do, but I do want to get to those thank you notes. But it was interesting to me. Oh, he's sending actual mail out to people. And I want to see that as a 2-minute video. I want to see it. And so this rapper, whose name is Gucci Mane, and, you know, I'm a little white woman from Illinois. I don't know these rappers. I'm sorry. But Gucci had a wall of lyrics in his room, you know, pinned up on a bulletin, huge wall-sized bulletin board, all his lyrics. And he pulls one off the wall and he said, this one is going to the person that listened to me for 24 hours and had my music on in his sleep. And I know I listen to music in my sleep too, and I appreciate that. So he puts that in there. And then he said, this is for the person that listened to, you know, has been listening to me for 3 years. You know, started listening to me when I first got on Spotify and has never stopped listening to me. Sticks another lyric in an envelope. Then he pulls another one off, and the third one he says, this is for the guy who played 260 of my songs on the day I got out of the federal penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show a scene of him walking up the stairs, and he's got a bracelet on his ankle.
Uh-huh.
He is under house arrest, probably as a condition of his parole.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his house, writing lyrics and mailing lyrics out to fans to say thank you for supporting me and supporting my music. And Spotify very smartly gave him voice, gave him, you know, a platform to say thank you to his fans. That's very good advertising for Spotify. There's a new ad up today because I went to see what else is going on with Gucci. A new one up of another rapper, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch his name, tattooed, gold tooth, dreadlocks, you know, everything that would separate, in an appearance way, separate this person from me, right? A little white lady from Southern Illinois who's 5'2" and 3 kids and wide and all those things. Okay, this man is on the video saying, Gucci, man. Gucci is the best. Gucci sought out talent, made sure we all had places on his album on Spotify, and made sure we got paid. And then he starts crying, and he says, he helped me feed my kids, man. And I watched that, and it took my voice away. It took my breath away. He helped me feed my kids, man. And he's crying. And you realize there is no difference between that man and me.
Right.
There is no space. That is real America.
Uh-huh.
That is making America great.
Yeah.
That is what we're all working for, is a place where all of us can feed our kids.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Well, and the distance between Gucci and the nice old Methodist ladies.
Yes.
Who work in the basement, make sure everything runs.
Exactly.
Is zero when it comes
zero.
To, I want to help people who need help. I am generous with my time and my energy. Yep. And I believe I...
And my fame and my...
Exactly.
Yeah, and... Exactly.
I right. give of myself to help my community, and I am deeply appreciative of all that I have.
And I'm appreciative of the people at a very low level. The person who I can't say his name on the air because he's an average citizen, but he listened to my music, and I'm going to thank him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's remembering that. And we met people at Netroots Nation who... we'll never be interviewed on television.
Nope.
Even maybe in the paper, they will be unsung, but they're working to make the world a better place. And they came to us and wanted to meet us because of our podcast. And it's so humbling
right. To
say, oh, I listen to you every week. It's like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
You do?
Well, and Hal Sparks always likes to point out that, you know, whenever there's a drunk driver,
mm-hmm.
it's somebody, or there's a crash, there's always one asshole behind the wheel who was a jerk.
Yeah.
There's always 10 people trying to help clean up the accident scene and call in help and provide assistance.
Yep.
They're not the ones
who put the person in shock in their car so they can just sit down for a minute and get them a water bottle.
Yeah.
You know, there are people, you know, I said this before, Mr. Rogers always said during disasters, look for the helpers.
Yeah.
That's what that's what you're supposed to tell kids when they see something on TV that's kind of scary, is look, oh, look, there's a fireman. Oh, look, there's a policeman. Oh, look, there's somebody who's helping.
Uh-huh.
And how can we help? Well, we can help by supporting our first responders, and we can help by providing food, and we send, you know, every time at the Christmas, a Salvation Army, and I know they're not always politically correct, but the money goes locally to help people that are having problems with drugs, and we help with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you can help children understand those things, how to make the world a better place. And here is Gucci again, this rapper I would have never heard of, and this segues very nicely into Bible Bitch, if you don't mind.
No, please. I love Bible Bitch.
Bible Bitch.
That's not scriptural.
Twitter can be wonderful. Twitter can, again, brought Gucci to my attention. And I would have never been exposed to that world at all had I not seen this video. I have learned this week, up close and personal, that Twitter is actually a place to vent rather than a place to communicate.
Yeah.
And that when you realize that, and you realize that some people that you disagree with me are simply venting, and just let it go, man. If you can't take the heat of it, block or mute them, but really don't try to, you're never going to change anyone's mind on Twitter. You're just not. And so I was reading this morning from Jeremiah, which, you know, Jeremiah is, there's a reason the word is called Jeremiah, which is a speech that just screams at people or screams against injustice or screams against things that are wrong. Jeremiah is the book in the Bible that is all about screaming at all of the wrongness going on in life and in the world and in general. And so, but there's a point in Jeremiah 10 where Jeremiah gets a little inkling that maybe he should get off Twitter. And so I want to read this with that in mind. This is Jeremiah 10:23. I know, God, that mere mortals can't run their own lives, that men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of life. So correct us, God, as you see best. Don't lose your temper. That would be the end of us.
Hashtag asking for a friend. Yeah.
Hashtag make America great again. Yeah. No, right. Yeah. Right. So don't lose your temper. That would be the end of us. Okay. And really, this is after 10 chapters of screaming, yeah. You know, of hashtag, hashtag, scream, scream, scream. And so just to kind of dial it back a little bit, recognize the venting, recognize this is a scary era in world life. Everyone is on edge because no one knows what's going to happen to them and their lives, and life has been hard.
Yeah, that I heard that once defined as the best definition of the term crisis.
Mm-hmm.
When you genuinely have no idea what's going to happen next.
To you exactly. And your family.
When everything is up in the air and you have no clue as to whether the world's going to blow up or not, or whether or not that is a crisis, and we react. We're wired to react in a certain way, and there are people wired to exploit that, to make you feel afraid, to make you feel terrified all the time. And it's helpful to realize that there are about 30 million Americans out there, 30 to 40 million Republicans out there, who are the rump of the Confederacy, who are fighting what at some cellular level they have to know is a losing battle an enemy they have been told is wicked beyond description. And they are terrified because after them there's nothing. Their life is over. Once they lose, it's all gone. And none of that's true, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the God they believe in is false and stupid and crazy. It doesn't matter that they listen to liars and lunatics. Their passion and their fear is real. You have to understand.
And here comes a white man who is going to promising you that he will bring it all back. Yep. He will bring back your power, and he will provide, as he says now, this is sort of now his loop is law and order, law and order, law and order. So you're going to be safe. You and your family are going to be safe. Because I'm going to make sure that our tribe is taken care of.
He will rebuild the temple, and it'll be great.
It's awesome.
And that,
terrific.
And that is an absolutely mesmerizing message for people who are already dumbed down to the point where they'll believe it and are locked
and
in.
And are scared.
Dug in like ticks. They're never coming out. They're never going to stop believing the crazy shit they believe. And so our job is to swarm them, to simply overwhelm them at the polling place.
Ballot box,
And make sure that they can't have, because you know what, they are basically our country's violent mental patient.
Yeah, and I was thinking too, and watching that New York Times video of the people saying N-word, and Beaner, and yelling, and you know, F-word Islam. I won't say those two words. I'll say fuck anytime you want, but I will not say F-word Islam in a row, but he was wearing a shirt that said that, you know, So all of those people, first of all, it was on a Saturday. I think a lot of those people had had two beers for breakfast.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, too, didn't have the factory work or the construction work or the infrastructure work that Hillary Clinton wants to make sure they have.
Right.
And it's tempting to judge them harshly for their racism, and I get that, and we should. But a lot of that acting out goes away if you've got a solid job and can feed your family and can provide for your home. That's getting the economy stable and getting people back to work at jobs that pay well is going to solve a lot of this anger and a lot of this frustration.
Well,
and that's where we need to move. Yeah.
And there's a reason they call it terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Not blowing up buildings or but that's part of it. But the core of it is to make you so afraid that you start doing things that are in the long term incredibly destructive to your to your way of life, to your world.
And acting irrationally.
And you start electing George W. Bush as your president. Yeah. And then you start electing Donald Trump as, you know, you find...
Well, and you look the other way when he invades the wrong country.
Right.
And you tell yourself that that's what's necessary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there, but that's...
We have to stop.
Oh, really? Well, and by the way, just as a program note...
Yes. Sorry.
We're not going to be able to do Science Fiction University this week.
We may put Science Fiction University on hiatus until after the election because we thought August was going to be a lull.
Yeah.
And that's turning out not to be the case.
Yeah.
And we want to provide you with coverage of the election. That's really important.
We haven't trashed any stories. We haven't.
No. And we have them all saved. They're all in a file in our email. We're going to get back to this. And as you know, we're going to expand this into, it's going to spin off into its own show, I've decided.
Oh, really?
For sure. Yeah. I've decided it needs to because.
Who's going
to
host it?
Us.
Okay. Well, I better start about my third career. I need to get a tweed jacket and a pipe really, really
See?
Quick.
Yeah. Really fast. We love you guys.
I'll vape.
You'll vape. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, you'll need a space. You'll need a space cigarette.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what a bong is, isn't it?
No.
No.
So don't try to go street, honey. It doesn't work for me.
I'm a 53-year-old mother of three who lives in the Midwest, and I really am as unassuming as you might think.
But there are lots of characters in spaceships in the 50s in movies who were smoking.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and we love you. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Buddy.
Aw.
Buddy is one of Barbara's five cats. He is 4 years old and 18 pounds. They adopted him from the local animal shelter. They were in the market to get a young kitty as company for another young cat they had adopted several months before. And when they got there were only three kittens to choose from, so they brought all three of them home.
That happens sometimes.
That happens. But Buddy is extra special. Just so you know, Buddy, when you see Buddy's picture, it's not a Photoshop. And it's not that his head is abnormally small. It's that his body is really, really big, okay?
Yes.
But we did not shrink his head and paste it onto his body. It's actually all one cat.
Yes.
He has made a remarkable recovery because he was found in a field and he was recovered from an outdoor field where there were lots of parasites and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And he had some health issues as a result of that. But as you can see from this picture,
yes.
He's made a full recovery.
Yes.
He is a people kitty. And sometimes he acts like a dog and he follows the alpha male of the house around to make sure he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Uh-huh. So dad, you know, the dad of the house. Yeah, dad, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay. So pretty cool. We want you to go to our Facebook page and website and visit Buddy. And you can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. We got a letter this week from a listener in Japan, and that's how he wants to be mentioned on the air.
Uh-huh.
Listener from Japan said, I just finished listening to your Democratic National Convention coverage podcast and freaking loved it. I couldn't not send a few bucks your way. I couldn't watch the Democratic National Convention here in Japan. I barely watch TV at all anyhow. I did try to pull up Sky News on the Mac TV box thingamajig so my parents could watch while they were here visiting during the DNC. Mom and Dad came all the way to Japan to visit. They came to spend some time with their three youngest grandkids, and it was big excitement and big stress. But I had to have rules for my parents at the door. No talking politics. And no talking religion either. For the most part, I try to sidestep these conversations or change the subject, but when we talk about converting my Buddhist in-laws, I just kind of mistranslate to my in-laws.
Oh, you know.
Ask them if they found Jesus, and I say, he said the fish is delicious. he said, I am the wavered liberal of the family. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We get it. We are grateful to you for your listenership and your support. And thank you very much for all of that. And it's fun to have a listener in Japan. I know we have a few. We have people all over the world that write to us. You know, it's just, it's so cool. This particular person is has kids and, you know, married a local girl, he said. So we're very grateful that you listen, and thank you very much for your support and for writing us. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local. And we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. I want to do a shout out to the teachers unions this week. They're starting to come back into the classroom. Uh-huh. I made some donations of a few bucks on Donors Choose to teachers that are trying to get their autism classroom set up. You can search on Donors Choose for the kind of classroom you want to donate to. And so I can look up autism and autistic and find these amazing teachers who are working with very limited resources to make a difference in the lives of kids with special needs. But you can look by geography. So you can give to a local school if you want to. You can give to, if you have music, if you want to give science fiction to people, you can look that up and see the teachers that are looking for science fiction books for their classroom. And you can donate there at Donors Choose. And I do encourage people to do that if you have money to do that. Also, if you are buying school supplies for yourself this year, go to our Amazon link at our website and shop there instead of going to Walmart. Because it helps us and it doesn't cost you anything.
Don't cost nothing to you.
Nope.
And the Donors Choose people are usually looking for extravagant items like like pencils.
No.
And
yes.
paper and
well,
books.
The autistic students need special chairs. They need chairs that bounce. Uh-huh. They need texture stuff for self-regulation that they can squeeze, things that they can touch to feel their bodies, because sometimes there's sensory integration issues where they can't feel, where you, they literally cannot feel their fingers. And so they'll clap all the time. So if you give a child who has that problem, some silly putty or some sort of, nervous toy, you know, a squeezy toy that they can squeeze, then they're not making noise in the classroom. They're actually, having tactile experiences with the nerve endings in their fingers and, not making noise and disturbing the rest of the students in the class. But those items cost money. Uh-huh. They're therapeutic and so forth. And teachers don't have budgets for that kind of stuff. So you go on Donors Choose. They've figured out how much they cost. They order the supplies for you. So it goes directly to the teacher. It's, the teacher gets the supplies that they are requesting. You know, it doesn't go through a school budget process. It doesn't go through a principal. The money is not going to be diverted because there's a leak in the roof. You know, that teacher is going to get that stuff. And so, I think it's really great. Yes, there are a lot of classroom teachers that are looking for iPads. You know, there just are. And that's understandable. And that there's nothing wrong with donating toward that. If you have a local school or if you have some reason to give an iPad to a teacher, that's awesome. But I'm looking for struggling teachers. They do put the poverty level of the school. I'm looking for schools that have high poverty, that have students with autism, that need supplies that will help autistic students regulate and learn. And that's very personal to me. So I look for something that's very personal to connect. So
you're a donor.
We went on way too long about that. I'm a donor and I choose. And I did cry this week because one of the teachers in a very poor school was looking for toothbrushes and washcloths for their students. And that's, I mean, come on. You know, but that is what's happening in America. And
And
that is a result of austerity budgets. Mm-hmm. And it's all connected. And we are going to help real America. You know, don't let anybody tell you that real America belongs to one tribe of people. It's all of us, and that's what it is. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. I want to remind everyone that if you're looking for a link of something discussed on this show, you can go to Driftglass or to Blue Gal. Our blogs, our personal blogs, usually have the links of stuff. And I will make sure that I link both to Donors Choose and to the Gucci videos so that you can see those and see how moving those all of those things are. Please rate our show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties say they'll have what John Boehner is having.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living.
Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2016, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Minecraft is awesome! Now it's time for Science Fiction University with our science fiction expert, Driftglass.